Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today is Mentor Monday, and we have one quick reminder from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. Get your entries in early. It's a win-win. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. Today we're talking to Allison Foley, and Allison has some really exciting stuff to talk about. First, we're going to talk about poodles, because who wouldn't love to talk about poodles? And then we're going to talk about Allison's new project that I think is very exciting. So welcome, Allison.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Can you give us a quick 411, kind of your background in dogs, how you started, and what brought you to today?
Well, my story started when I was very young and my parents wanted to buy a guard type dog because my dad was a warden in a prison.
Oh my goodness.
And they decided to buy a Doberman and they accidentally bought an Afghan hound. Those people wanted to show her. So just like a lot of people starting out, we said, okay. And we followed them to the dog shows to watch it happen. And I watched that and I found out that there was junior handling and they lent me a miniature poodle. And, you know, it takes a village, and they were really wonderful people that really encouraged my parents to start breeding Afghans and me to show dogs. I was lucky enough to work for a couple of professional handlers. And then I had the fortune to work for Susan Hillman, who was known as the first lady of Canadian dog shows. And I worked for her for a very long time. And I learned so much. And I became a professional handler myself on August 8th of 1987. So that means this August will be 30 years as a professional handler.
Wow. And so Susan Hillman, and who else? Some of your great mentors, if you can think of the people. Give props, man. We love to talk about our mentors and who they are and what they meant and that sort of thing.
Definitely. I was just surrounded by so many people who, in the heyday of dog shows.
Right.
So there was Susan Hillman, who was best friends with Tim Brazier, which led me to learn from Danny Augustus and the late Mark Chanoff. I was around people like Curtis Smith, Brian Cordova. Susan showed dogs for Dr. John Reeve Newson and Dr. Dick Mean, who I would be 14 years old, and they used to have a big after party after Canada's biggest winter show. And I remember like sitting in the very corner of their library, cuddling a French bulldog named Porkchop and listening to Michelle Billings and Ed Bivin and Dick and John discuss the entry that was at the show that weekend. And like, it's giving me goosebumps just to tell you that story.
I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Yeah, but when you're 14, you're amazed, but it's now that I think, wow, like if only there was iPhones then and I could have recorded that conversation.
Live stream, or where was live stream when we needed
it? Yeah, exactly, exactly. And there's just so many people were very generous to me, and you never know where you're going to learn your next thing from.
That's absolutely true. Speaking of which, let's talk about your Show Dog Academy, because I think as this fancy changes, as the sport changes, how we learn changes. And so things like Pure Dog Talk, things like your Dog Show Academy, I think have a lot of application going forward in our sport. So let's talk about that, how you thought of it, how you brought it to fruition, what you see for the future of it.
Well, my son has a degree in philosophy, and then he went to film school. And I had this idea a year ago to just do some maybe cute YouTube videos and teach people maybe how to like maintenance band a poodle, because then if I had a client that lived somewhere else, I could show them how to point them to that video.
Right.
So I did a few videos, but I don't know how to take them from a camera to YouTube because I'm a dog handler.
Right.
And so I asked my son to help me. He was really busy. And so I just let it go. And then in March, he came to me and he was like, Mom, you know, I need some stuff for my resume. Let's do your YouTube stuff. So we did some YouTube stuff, and it was lots of fun. He's really fussy. He, you know, lights everything and edits everything and makes me look good. And through that, and actually listening to podcasts and thinking about, I live in a area where there's no handling classes. We have people who are now, there's a different generation of dog show people. There's not maybe as many people that were like me who were young and grew up. What about the people who have grown children and who have left the nest and now they have time to maybe buy a standard poodle and their dream is to show it, but there's nowhere for them to learn. They clearly can't go be an assistant somewhere. You know, that time of their life is past, but how can they learn? Breeders don't have the time to show people. Handlers just want to take their money and show their dog. And I'm not saying that in a bad way because I do that and I'm happy to do it. But what about those people? We need to get the entries right. Bigger again. So where are they going to learn? And I know that I have learned the most from watching people. So I've read a lot of books and I get all of the magazines and I learn the very most by being around the best people and thinking, aha, like that's how you do it. So if I can show you that on video, on a video that you can see, that you can watch over and over and over again. And then, you know, I have an interactive Facebook group where if you join my school, then you can send me pictures of your poodle and I download it into an app and I trim it with a stylist and send it back to you. And, you know, we've been here for 30 days and we have like 250 people signed up on our school taking courses and it's just a baby.
I love it. And you know what else I love? And this is another giving me goosebumps moment. Truth. Absolute truth. Pure Dog Talk was the outgrowth of conversation that Mary Albee and I had based on my desire to do exactly what you're talking about. It launched just mere moments after Lee Whittier, who also had this same basic, I love the synergy that we're all thinking the same thing and we're all coming up with innovative ideas. And I just think it is amazing. And it's got so much potential to help so many people.
Yeah, you can reach so many people through the magic of the internet. It doesn't matter what time zone you're in. It doesn't matter what area of the world that you live in. You know, it doesn't matter what language you speak. Like, we're transcripting some of our videos into different languages based on people that have asked for it. But you can watch the video over and over and over again. Each video has a transcription that you can put into Google Translate. My junior's book for the junior handling course is translated into French and Spanish.
Nice.
We're just getting started on all of it. And it's just amazing that the things that people pick up on, you know, it's right. The things that I've done in some of the lessons that I think this is going to blow their mind. It's not that.
Right.
It's the little tiny simple things that I just think everybody knows that I get the most feedback. People saying, wow, I never knew that. And I'm like, huh.
It is interesting. And I agree with you. I wrote a column for Best in Show Daily on how to stack your dog, you know, like basic 101, right? Honest to God, it had more views than anything I had ever. I'm like, okay, take a hand here, Laura.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And people are so appreciative too.
Yes, I think that that's true. And I certainly hope that we can cross link these audiences because I think there's things that each can learn from the other. You know what I'm saying? And we've done that with Lee Whittier, the same thing. And if you need this, this is a great resource. And if you need that, here's another resource. And if you need this other thing, you know, and helping people find those resources puts the internet to good use instead of the sometimes not so good use of social media.
Well, and I totally agree. Like, Pure Dog Talk, I think, is amazing because we spend a lot of time in our vehicles going from place to place, especially someone like me that lives in a more remote area. And what better thing to listen to than some of the icons of our sport just, you know, have these conversations with me. And I just feel like I'm, you know, in their living room again, talking to them. And I think it's an amazing thing. I'm really happy.
Yeah, it's so cool to get to have those conversations and bring them to people so they can be like us and get to hear some of the things that you and I would have. It's just cool. So with the Academy, a lot of what you're focused on is poodles. And I think that's a great opportunity because that is such a specialized thing to do. Like, if you tried to have me band a poodle, you'd laugh yourself to death. It would be a disaster. So I personally will just have to watch just because. But I think it's so cool. And I would love for you to share just a few, some basic tips. So one tip on banding, one tip on brushing, and one tip on coat maintenance. How about that?
All right. So one of my tips about banding is this. I think that people try to use too many rubber bands and they try to put them around the hair much too tight. So in my videos, I show you that you put each rubber band around the hair no more than 3 times. And you space the rubber bands out so that you just think everywhere the rubber band hits, there's potential for that hair to be cut or broken or snapped at that point. So you try to space them out and not keep them tight. And just think about if you were wearing ponytails, you know, you don't want pulling on your eye or pulling on your ear. And my actual biggest banding tip is be very careful at the top of the ear banding the top knot. So you're better to err on having a little bit of top knot hair banded into the ear. Most poodles tolerate that. If you have a little tiny 3 ear hairs in the top knot, most poodles will scratch it out.
Oh, so interesting.
That's my biggest banding tip.
Love it. Banding is good. Okay, so number one brushing tip.
Okay, number one brushing tip. This is the first thing I learned when I worked for Susan Hillman, and I'd already had my own poodles at this point. And her rule to me was, when you are brushing your poodle, brush it so delicately that you pretend you have to eat every hair in the pin brush. And if you do that, you are going to be very careful with how much hair you take out. And that is true.
Interesting. I like that. Okay, so number one conditioning tip. You've got a lot of hair there. You've got a lot of work in there. What's your number one tip on conditioning?
I think that some people make a mistake because they don't give themselves enough time to do a very thorough job. So if you don't think you have enough time to properly give your poodle a maintenance bath, get it completely combed out, get it completely banded exactly how you and your poodle like it, because each poodle and each person is completely unique, then I think you're better to put it off a day or two. It's always going to take half an hour longer than you think, just like running errands. So I would prefer that you did it every 10 days and you had that extra 20 minutes when you were done to make sure everything was perfect. Then you did it every 7 days and stopped 20 minutes before you were done.
Nice. I like it. I think that's true for a lot of things. We get so busy and we cut corners and it winds up costing us in the end.
Right. If you cut corners, it is going to show, and it's either going to make the next time you do your poodle take an extra hour and a half, or just the damage to the coat from them rubbing, or, you know, a spot that wasn't completely dry matting is just, it's going to make you cry. So just give yourself that extra time. And if you don't really have time today, go do something else that allows you to have that extra half hour next time. You know, maybe get the laundry done, or, you know, get your marking done, or whatever you need to have done.
Right. So this is completely not a poodle person question. Working with the different varieties, do you see a lot of difference in coats and how you maintain them between the varieties?
There is definite differences between taking care of the 3 varieties. You have to be more diligent the smaller the dog is. You know, a small error on a toy poodle is going to take up much more of that poodle. So if you do something wrong, it's going to be bigger. And each trim is also different. So even though it's the same trim on each variety, the shape is slightly different, and you do have to adjust your eye to that. So there is differences between the 3 varieties. And some people think, you know, I want to get a miniature poodle because I love standard poodles, but they're smaller, and it's not the same thing.
Outside observation, I no knowledge whatsoever. Temperament differences in the varieties?
I really hate to say it. There's definite temperament differences between the 3 varieties. And I started out with miniatures, and I find that their temperaments can be the most temperamental. I find they're more aloof than the other 2 varieties. I think standards are a great all-around dog. You know, they're guardy, they're sporty, they're cuddly, they're clowns. I think toy poodles, they love to cuddle. They can be very clownish. You can still get an athletic toy, and you can get very athletic miniatures, but I think miniatures, they test you more. I know mine test me more, but they test you more. They definitely, to me, are more aloof, and they just make you think a little bit more outside the box than the other 2 varieties.
Interesting. Okay. Now, how about between the colors? Because I know, for example, we have pugs here. Fawn pugs and black pugs, not the same dog. Color differences.
I definitely agree. I think that, especially in standards, but I think black is your bedrock. You know, black are the ones that are going to be Old Faithful. You get what you're going to get. White standard poodles, they're the clowns. They're the circus dogs. They're the ones that, you know, when it's windy and you're showing them outside, watch out, because they're the ones that are going to make you humble for sure. And like they love to do it, and they know that, and they just stand there and laugh at you just like, well, what did you expect? It was windy. Everybody says that browns are like really high strung. I don't have like a lot of experience with them, but the ones that I have been around, like they are more of a challenge. And I've shown black and tan and then red Dobermans, and I find kind of the same differences. Like they're kind of always demanding your attention. But to me, it's the difference between black and white, especially, is that the whites just want to laugh at you. And the blacks are just like, oh, I'm so sorry she did that.
Love that. Okay. So this is something that I think people outside of poodles find just mind-boggling. So what I learned hanging around with Tim Brazier is wiggies, the concept of wiggies. So let's talk about that and maybe kind of put some of this out a little more in the open so that the rest of the dog show fancy is like, okay, now I get it.
So the first thing that I think that if you're smart and you have an eye for a dog and somebody has used a wiggy in a poodle to give it hair that it doesn't really have there, I think that that is extremely noticeable. I think they look like they're wearing a cowboy hat on the top of their head. I think that when they're used, you know, you have a standard poodle special who is being shown at maybe 60, 80, 100, 120 dog shows a year. There is no doubt that the hair on the top of their head is going to start to get a bit thinner, no matter how much you baby it, whatever conditioner you use, you're putting that hairspray in it. So I think if somebody uses a couple little wigs in the top of their head so that it basically saves the real hair from getting abuse, that's what I think. I also think that no rubber band, no wig, no amount of hairspray changes the quality of the dog. The quality of the dog is there. The hair texture is there. The quality of the coat is there, regardless whether they have one rubber band in the top of their head or whether they have 15 rubber bands in the top of the head, whether they have a can of hairspray or they have no hairspray. If you are a dog person judging dogs, it does not change the quality of that poodle whatsoever. We put chalk in other breeds. We can go to any dog show and go to any booth and pick up any chalk of any color. That doesn't change the quality of that dog. It maybe makes it look prettier in the pictures, but if you're a dog person judging dogs, it's not going to change the quality.
Excellent. That's great. I really like that, Allison. That is a good explanation and a good way for people to understand that maybe a little bit better.
Well, many, many years ago, and again, I'm not trying to drop names, but Mrs. Clark came and did a judges education seminar in Toronto, and it was on poodles, clearly, and I brought the poodles to be used in judges education. And at that point in the Canadian standard, it said that the top knot could be secured by no more than 3 rubber bands. We have since changed our standard, so now it matches the American standard where you can have as many as you want before the occiput. And one of the judges raised a question at the seminar and said, you know, what do we do if we have a poodle in the ring that has more than 3 rubber bands? And she said, in the way only Mrs. Clark could, that if you are judging poodles, and you have 2 of them that are such excellent specimens of the breed, and the only discerning factor between the 2 of them is how many rubber bands they have in the top of their head, then I want you to call me and tell me about it. And I thought, wow, like that was right. So awesome, because, you know, at that point, I was probably one of the ones they were talking about that had more than 3 rubber bands in the top of the head, right? And I just thought that was just such a great way to put it.
I like it.
The amount of rubber bands does not discern between those 2 dogs.
Right. No, I love that. That's totally Annie too, isn't it?
Certainly was, yes.
Okay, so speaking, bringing Mrs. Clark into the conversation and poodles, I think it's fascinating to watch, and you could help, you've had the background to give kind of a perspective of the way trims have changed over the years, particularly I think in miniatures and in standards. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see as much difference in toys, but boy, the miniature and standard trims have, I look at the continuation, I guess.
It is actually quite a fascinating thing that I didn't really realize that they had changed as much as they had until I was putting together one of my poodle courses. And I wanted to do an evolution, like I wanted to show people how a trim grows up. So I wanted to show them what a poodle might look like when it's first cut out at a year, what it looks like at 18 months too, and then maybe if it's a top special, show a photo of it at 4 to kind of see that when you do put your poodle into pattern, it's not going to look like this picture of this dog going best in show at Crufts. It's not going to look like that.
Right.
And so I had to show that. So in that, I started, you know, I was just gathering, doing my research, I was gathering a million photos, and I just noticed the trim did change. It wasn't just the change in from the 60s to the 70s when it went from being bottom heavy to top heavy, you know, when we started giving them, you know, a hard underline instead of letting it kind of flow down more. Like, that was a huge change. But since then, they've gotten much heavier on top. And I do think that we start to add more hair to the top of the trim, and the trim just grows them taller and taller and taller and taller and changes everything else we do. I also find that because I think entries have gotten a lot smaller in poodles, and I know this living in Canada and coming down to the US, but sometimes if you show a dog in full coat, like in an open class that isn't in a really tight trim, people question why it's still in the classes. Where when I was an assistant, a lot of people would hold back their open dogs and open bitches until they were in a full bloom and really stood out from the pack. So I think the trim has changed to just more emphasis on the top knot, on having that big full look when you look at them from the side. And it was really interesting to me to look at all these slides and just see pictures of poodles that were winning. I saw a picture of the late Bobby Peebles showing Jet Setter at PCA. And I remember seeing him and thinking, wow, like, look at all the hair. And if you look at him now, he looks like any picture of a class winner at PCA. And I'm not trying to say that in a bad way at all, like, with full props, full respect. I mean, that dog for his time just looked absolutely stunning. And now we would probably consider that to not be quite enough hair for a special.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's just, again, outside observation, having watched Friends with Timmy and getting to see poodles in the Northwest an awful lot, that would be my question. I think it's fascinating to watch that.
Yeah, the trend has definitely changed probably more than we think it has, because I think so many people in poodles have been in it for so long, we just think that we're doing the same thing. But if you really go back and look, and, you know, even you just look in the last 20 years, how much the trims have changed, and just, you know, the bodies have gotten tighter, the top knots have gotten bigger.
Right.
And it's quite fascinating.
And do you think that that is due to the change of the underlying dog? In other words, is the trim in response to specific faults or virtues, or is it just simply a stylized thing?
I think it's a stylized thing. Even, you know, looking at some of the best poodles from both things, are poodles that are in the same family that have the same look. I think that, or it could be also maybe handlers are trimming more to give a more desired outline, you know, paying more attention to making sure they show a front angle when they're trimming a dog. Like, I don't know, because I haven't been able to really talk. So maybe that's the next thing I should do, is talk to people about why was that dog trimmed like that in 1987?
Right.
And why you trim this, like, this dog now in 2017?
Right. To me, that's fascinating. That's the kind of thing that totally, I'm like, so how come? I'm ever going to show a poodle, but I like to know that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, Allison, thank you so very much for your time. I wish you absolutely the best of luck with your academy, and we will make sure to provide a link in our show notes to that, and hopefully you'll be able to put a link to this on your academy website so people can listen to this for a few more extra tips.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I would like to give you a promo code for anybody listening to your podcast that they could get 15% off anything in my academy.
Excellent.
And so the promo code would be PureDogTalk15, and you can sign up for anything you want, and you'll provide the links in the show notes, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And Pure Dog Talk will definitely be part of the Leading Edge Academy.
Excellent. Well, Allison, thank you so much. You have a great day.
Okay, you have a great day too.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at PureDogTalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.